Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
All glory to God, our Heavenly Father. He's so good and gracious to us. And I thank Pastor John and the admin team and the elders for giving me this privilege to share God's Word. And I thank Pastor John who facilitated me to prepare this sermon. So today we are going to see on the invitation to live in the house of God. Remember, return, and renewal. Again, invitation to live in the house of God. Remember, return, and renewal. As we meditate on this, let's all again look our close our eyes and pray to the Lord so that we may have a deep reflection from His Word, which may help us to draw closer to Him and experience His love and goodness and the eternal covenantal love. Let's pray. Our dear gracious King, we thank you so much for this wonderful privilege. We are accepted by your divine love. We are protected by your grace. So we praise you, we honor you for who you are and what you have been doing in our lives. Father, as we reflect on your word, you speak to each one of us, Lord, so that we may understand your plan and purpose in our lives, so that we may enrich with your holy word and encourage and edify and draw closer to you, and always remember your goodness in our lives. We give all glory and honor to thy holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the Old Testament, the God's people, Israelites, most of the time experienced God's presence. They experienced in their life, they experienced in their daily walk with the Lord. Wherever they went, the covenantal love of the Lord, Hased in Hebrew, the steadfast love of the Lord, never departed from them. That is the fact that we see the covenant love of the Lord for His people in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we are the temple of the Lord. He dwells in us, makes His presence as we daily walk with Him and we feel His presence. And even He makes His presence not only in us, even all on this earth. And we experience His presence and goodness. So here we see in text, Genesis chapter 35, verse 1 to 15, one of the patriarchal father, which Jews call the Jacob. Then God said to Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, go up to Bethel and settle there and build an altar there to God, who appeared to you. God is helping him to remember who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau. So Jacob said to his household, Jacob said, that means he obeyed God, said to his household and to all who were with him, get rid of the foreign gods you have with you and purify yourselves and change your clothes. Then come, He's ready, prepared. Let us go up to Bethel where I will build an altar to God who answered me. That means God remembered him and now he's remembering God's answer. Who answered me in the day of my distress. Who has been with me wherever I have gone. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had and the rings in their ears. And Jacob buried them under the oak at Shechem. Then they set out and the terror of God fell on the towns all around them so that no one pursued them. God protected them as they start their journey. Jacob and all the people with him came to Luz, that is Bethel, Beth House, Elohim, God, the Lord, in the land of Canaan. There he built an altar and he called the place El Bethel, House of Elohim. the Lord, because it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died and was buried under the oak outside Bethel. So it was named Alon Bakut. After Jacob returned from the Padan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God is renewing his covenantal love for him. God said to him, "Your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel." So he named himself. And God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will be among your descendants. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you, and I will give this land to your descendants after you." Then God went off from him at the place where he had talked with him. Jacob set up a stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him, and he poured out a drink offering on it, which indicates thanksgiving to the Lord. He also poured out oil on it. Jacob called the place where God had talked with him Bethel, house of God. So this is the Abraham's family tree. See, Abraham, Hagar, Ishmael, and Arab nations is coming, and from Sarah, Isaac, Esau, Edomite, and today it is called like Indians and some others from Edom lineage, according to the biblical history. And Jacob and Israel, that is how the 12 tribes came from Jacob's lineage, that we can see from this Abraham's family tree. And we had an assignment in my MTS, my family tree, so I could remember from this. So journey from Beersheba, when we read Genesis chapter 28, Jacob is going from Beersheba to Bethel, fleeing from Esau. And from Bethel to Haran, Padan Aram, to find a wife. Live in Haran for 20 years, work for his father-in-law or uncle, Laban. 20 years he worked. 7 years he worked for a wife, and then his father-in-law cheated him, as we read the story in chapter 29, verse 31. And then he leaves Haran, travels through Gilead, Mahanaim, and Peniel, that is we call Bethel today, on return to Canaan, where he encounter with angel of the Lord again, wrestling. Settle in Succoth and Shechem, Canaan, in chapter 33, verse 17 to 20. Trouble in Shechem, Dina in incident. We see how the people came and misused Dina, and then his Jacob's two sons killed those people. Bethel to fulfill vow. Journey to Hebron, passing Ephrathah, Bethlehem, where Rachel dies, again 35 to 16 to 29. So this is the just a summary of how he is traveling from Beersheba to Haran, and how he is coming from Haran to Beersheba. So this is the map. The Beersheba in the down, the south part, and then he's traveling to the north part, that is offside Haran. So from south, he's traveling to Haran to find a wife. And then again from Haran, he's coming down to Penuel and to the Shechem. And at Shechem, where he was at Shechem, God is calling him, telling him, get up and go to Bethel. So from Shechem, he is coming down to Bethel again. So this is the travel journey or Jacob's journey of from verse 28 to 35. If we read, then definitely we will get to know. So big idea, the invitation to live in the house of God is a privilege that involves remembering his faithfulness, covenantal love, restoring our relationship with him, reaffirming his promises. That Jacob is doing, as we read continue, we will find how Jacob is remembering God's faithfulness. Overview, Genesis 35, 1 to 15. God calls Jacob to return to Bethel, where he first appeared to him. Jacob responds by removing idols, purifying his household, and building an altar. God reaffirms his covenant, changes Jacob's name to Israel, and renew his promises, marking a fresh beginning in Jacob's work with God. So this is the overview or summary that we can find here. The first point is, God lead us to remember his faithfulness. And this faithfulness is God covenantal faithfulness. Human may fail of their promises, but God will never ever fail to keep his promises for his people. Jacob was going away from the covenantal faithfulness of God. He was running away, but the covenant of the Lord, the steadfast love of the Lord, was pursuing him. We may run away. We may run away with our human plan and human thinkings, but God's faithfulness will never leave you and me. Wherever we go, his faithfulness pursues you and me. It will not depart from you and me till he fulfills his plan and purpose in and through our life and blesses our generations. He keeps his faithfulness. The reason is his faithfulness and loving kindness never comes to an end. It is God's covenantal faithfulness. Hebrew word hesed, meaning loyal love. Steadfast love of the Lord. Covenantal faithfulness that is binding and upholding Jacob's wherever he went. God's covenantal faithfulness never comes to an end. It never fails, but remains forever upon his people. That is the fact that you and I need to hold on to today. And I do experience, when I'm in India, his faithfulness was with me. When I am here, his faithfulness is with me. Amen. And that we can really experience as we are abiding in his faithfulness. In human knowledge, in human thinking, we try to describe God's faithfulness, God's presence. But God's faithfulness and God's presence and God's work and leading is beyond our human imaginations. If we write thousands of books describing his faithfulness, till then beyond the thousand books. Because he works in a way that we never imagine. It is you and me that have to experience his presence and faithfulness daily in our life. God invites Jacob to remember his steadfast love. God is leading here. God is really sometimes, he's like a loving with madness. He loves you and me. The way he loves you and me is beyond imagination, beyond anything. He always reminds you and me to draw closer to him, to test more and more of his love. God tells Jacob to go back to Bethel, the place where he first revealed himself during Jacob's time of fear and loneliness. The first encounter where he had with God, God is asking him to remember that, asking him to go back to there. You and I need to remember our first love to God, where we encounter personally and where our lives were transformed. God calls the Ephesians church, come back to the first love. Return back to the first love. I don't want anything from you, but return back to the first love. So God is making him to remember where he encountered in Genesis chapter 28. This call is a reminder of God's covenant, presence, and protection throughout Jacob's journey. Remembering helps us respond in repentance. Jacob removes foreign gods and purifies his household. Because Jacob and his people were keeping idols, they have to remove. So remembering God's faithfulness sometimes helps us to give thanks more and more, to remember his goodness and mercies, sometimes to repent from our wrongdoings. And sometimes those who are continually working with God, when God reminds them of his faithfulness, they rejoice in him. Amen. They grow more and more in him. And they find courage and edifications and continue to work with him. This call is a reminder of God's faithful covenant. Remembering help us respond in repentance. Sometimes thanksgiving. Sometimes with joyful heart. Jacob removes foreign gods and purifies household, because those are not pleasing to God. We cannot serve two masters. We cannot trust like horses or any other kings. There is only one king, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In a moment of grief, God reminds us of where he first met us, proved himself faithful. We must reflect on our spiritual journey and respond with reverence. As Jacob responded with obedience, so we need to respond to God's reminder. In second point, we see God lead us to return to his house. Presence. Jacob said yes to return. He obeyed the voice of the Lord. When he said, "Let us go," that indicates that Jacob obeyed God. Despite of his weaknesses, he was keeping the idols and he was leading his people to worship other gods and goddesses. Yet the covenant faithfulness of the Lord did not depart. Sometimes we calculate or we imagine, I'm weak or I'm doing something bad, so God might have forsaken me. We may think like that, but once God has promised you, made his covenant faithful on you, he will never, never leave you. So that is, we can see here, he obeyed God, returned, and his obedience to the voice of God. God showers his protection and provision on Jacob as he returns. As we read, the terror of the Lord fell around the nations, that no one pursued him. When we obeyed God, when we resume our work with the Lord, he protects. He protects his people. Not only protects, he provides. That is the fact that we can see, learn from these verses, that he makes his presence so powerful with him that no nation could come near to him. And then as they walk, God was with them. God went before them. God worked with them and protected them. Even Laban, his own father-in-law, got angry and tried to attack him. But God appeared to Laban and told, "Do not touch my servant." As we work and continue with the Lord, he will protect us. Amen. He will hold us on his hand. His return is not just geographical but spiritual. A return to dependence. A return to worship the Lord alone. A return to experience God's presence in his house. God does not abandon his people. He invites us back into his presence to realign our hearts and worship with him at the center. Worship him alone. Our praise and worship should be centered on Christ alone. So that we can see from these verses. Third point, God lead us to renewal of relationship and blessings, that we can read chapter 35, verse 9 to 15. God reaffirms Jacob's identity. "Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name." which meaning he struggles with God or God prevails. God reminded him, and he is remembering that in the time of my trouble, in the time of my pain, in the time of my distress, God revealed to me. So he is remembering. God is reminding him, and he is remembering God's faithfulness. So when God reminds you and me, we all need to remember his goodness and faithfulness and rejoice in him. So he changed, God changed his name into Israel, who struggle with God, or God prevails. God renews the covenantal blessings, fruitfulness, multiplications, and the promise of land. As God promised to his grandfather Abraham and to his father Isaac, now God is again making a covenant of blessing with Jacob, that he will be fruitful. He and his generation will be blessed. A new revelation of God's name, El Shaddai, is given a deeper experience of who God is. As he remembered the renewal of the covenant of the Lord, that I will be with you, I will bless you, I will make your generation fruitful. As a result, Jacob is giving and calling the Lord El Shaddai, God of all sufficiency, God Almighty. That is the meaning we can, meaning all sufficient God or Almighty God. There is no lack in the Lord. He is the source of all things. He is God of the heaven and the earth and all this universe. He is God of our life. As we remember that he is our sufficient God, supreme God, lack nothing, so his people will lack nothing. He will, in his time, will supply our needs. Either comfort, peace, or joy, or any other things that we in need of. Jacob set up a pillar, symbolizing a lasting response to a renewed relationship. When we return, God does not just restore. He renews identity, calling, purpose in life. The past does not define us. His promises do define us. Who we are, what we do, will not define us. But if we cling to his promises, abide with his promises, that defines us, and we are his people. As the earthly father remembers and looks his sons and daughters return, so our heavenly father remembers and looks for our returns. You know, as a father, when my daughter falls sick or something happens, how pain I feel here. Then just think, our heavenly father, who loved you and me, agape love, showed his agape love, how much he feels. If as a limited beings cannot move here and there, how much I feel the pain in my heart or struggle within, then just think, God who moves everywhere, how much he feels. He always feels that his children should return to him and to his promises and experience his presence. That is the fact from this lesson that we can learn and can move forward as being his, being God's people. As the earthly father remembers and looks his sons and daughters return, so our heavenly father remembers and looks for our return. Summary statement. Genesis chapter 35, 1 to 15 shows us that when we wander, God does not give up on us. He invites us to remember his faithfulness, covenantal faithfulness, steadfast love which never comes to an end, return to his presence and be renewed in his identity and purpose. Living in the house of God means walking daily in remembrance, repentance, and relationship with the one who never leaves us. This is the fact. God is God of relationship. God is not so far from you and me. He is not God like others who stay away from people. God has created all the people in His own image, and He always longs to have relationship. He always longs to make His presence with us so that we may delight in Him. And that is the reality of God's nature. And because of His relational nature, He wants us to return to Him and have a more closer relationship with Him in His covenantal love. And that is the fact of God's nature. May the Lord bless each one of us through this sharing. Thank you very much.